Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers have a couple of full pads practices under their belt now. And that phrase, under their belt, takes on a little bit of a new meaning here with the introduction of a trophy, I guess you'd call it, between the offensive and defensive line, a new tradition perhaps started by David Bakhtiari. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so David Bakhtiari, in the dead of the offseason, as he said, even citing boredom for his decision to go about doing this, decided to buy a replica WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt. And I've seen this before. We saw it at the Super Bowl 45, Aaron Rodgers wearing it. But he took it to another level. He actually put the Packers name on it. He has the little G studs on it. So it's fully developed.
Personalized, yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
And the reason, the origin for this stems between him and Mike Daniels. This is a conversation they've had in the past. And after Bakhtiari bought it, he texted Daniels with a picture of it saying, "Here it is. This is for us." And Daniels immediately knew what that meant. It meant when they get back to training camp, when the pads go on, when you see the offense and defensive line going against each other and run blocking drills, any competitive period, something that they're going to be vying over, and it's a neat little thing to add to it. I think as Bakhtiari even said, you know, some of these training camp practices, they can be long, they can get tiring, but instead of, you know, making the coaches be the ones that are yelling and pushing guys, well, maybe there's a little bit of 10 pounds of gold that could potentially also entice them to just give a little bit more.
I like the visual. I think it's a good look. It's a neat little thing to add. It's tough to appreciate sometimes, maybe from our vantage point, watching practice from the sidelines, just how often those two units go at it. There's one-on-one drills, pass rush, pass blocking. There's the half-line drill where there's a few guys out there working combination blocks, different things like that. Then there's the full 11-on-11. These guys are going at it quite a bit, and while they're all teammates, things can get a little heated. Throwing in something like a, you know, friendly competition, no harm in that, right?
No, not at all. And it was actually made for some really humorous moments. You go back to Saturday's practice after they got done with their first half line drill. David Bakhtiari took the belt. He brought it down to practice with him. He had it, you know, draped over his shoulder when he walked out to the field. Took the belt, proudly held it over his head when they finished. It was of his assertion that the offensive line had won that particular day, although Daniels afterwards disagreed.
Yeah.
And then you go to Monday afterwards, after practice, Bakhtiari actually had it up in his locker right next to his pads. So they're taking this the full level, and it's something nice. It's something different. And if nothing else, I think it also builds a little bit more camaraderie between those two groups.
I think deciding who wins the day is something that none of those guys is ever going to agree on.
No.
It would be completely subjective, obviously. I think even if you left it up to the coaches, Mike Turgovac and James Campner probably wouldn't necessarily agree on which unit won or lost on that particular day. So, but they're having some fun with it.
Yeah, you might need Ron Zook, the special teams coordinator, to be the arbitrator in there.
Yeah,
or something
you need some sort of a neutral decision maker there, I think. So,
yeah, but the thing that is interesting to me, Mike, though, when you step back from this, these are two. I think the Packers, if you ask them, they feel like these are two of their best offensive and defensive lines that they've had. Now, mind you, there's been a lot of change up, especially on the inside of that offensive line. But defensive line wise, you know, you have Kenny Clark coming back in year two, Dean Lowry, obviously Mike Daniels, what he brings. They bring in Ricky Jean-Francois into that group as well. And I was talking to Jean-Francois a little bit about that because Daniels has talked so much about attitude and bringing an edge to a defense. And
yeah.
You go back, and Jean-Francois said it, you know, he was in San Francisco with those really good units at the beginning of the 2010s, and just the way that those guys attacked the day, and Justin Smith, and there was just so much aggression, there was so much eagerness, and I think that's one thing when you look at the Packers' defensive line, and also the offensive line, that's something that they're really looking to develop that culture. It's there already, Daniel says it's there, but it's about finding ways to further, you know, kind of push that a little bit and get the team in where they want to be.
Yeah, and I think some credit goes to the Packers' offensive line as well. When you look at heading into this season, at the start of last season, J.C. Treader was your center. T.J. Lang was at guard. You know, now those two starters have changed. Obviously, Corey Linsley has been a starter and was the starter the second half of last season. Now Jari Evans in at guard. My point is, when this Packers offensive line needs to make changes like this, they seem to be able to make it pretty seamlessly. I know there were some rough spots in 2015 when injuries at offensive tackle and things didn't quite stay at that same level, but that's really one of the only times during James Campen's tenure as the offensive line coach, during Mike McCarthy's tenure as the head coach, where we've ever really seen a major drop-off in offensive line play when some changes have to be made.
Yeah, and then that was a pretty extreme example, too, the way that the season had sort of led them. That was also the year, I think it was in the first Arizona game, where they were down to the five guys who finished that game were their only healthy five offensive linemen at that point.
Right.
So that was quite a pickle they found themselves in. But the one thing I've liked about how they've developed this offensive line is, okay, you have your bookends, you have Bulaga and Bakhtiari. They've invested into both of those guys for the long term. Lane Taylor steps up in a huge way last year at left guard. You know what you have in Corey Linsley. They bring in Jahri Evans. But then you look behind them, what they have, a second-round draft pick from a year ago, a tackle prospect in Jason Spriggs. You have Kyle Murphy there, Don Barkley being the veteran that he is. A lot of ways that they can go about, you know, proceeding into this season. And to James Campen's credit, as Mike McCarthy said on Monday morning, one of the best in the league when it comes to that coaching that position.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw to a break. Excuse me. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we continue to review these first few training camp practices here in Green Bay, a lot of talk throughout all the offseason about how things might shake out in the defensive backfield. And it's only been a few practices. You can't read too much into it. But that being said, a young guy, Quentin Rollins, third-year cornerback, a second-round draft pick a couple of years back, he seems to be making at least a little bit of a statement here early on about the role and the position that he wants to play. He's been kind of a standout, I think, through these first few practices.
Yeah, you wrote about it on Packers.com, a nice story about Rollins and a huge day he had on Saturday, being able to pull down an interception. As pretty of an interception as I think I've seen in a training camp practice. I mean, maybe you can describe it a little bit better than I can. But
yeah,
it was nice.
I agree with you. I thought it was a fantastic play just because of the reaction that it took. It happened so fast. He was guarding Randall Cobb in the slot. It was a pass to the end zone. Not quite sure Randall Cobb necessarily saw that the ball was coming. I think maybe Cobb cut one way and Rodgers threw another way. But that being said, Rollins really at the last possible second, he caught the or saw the flash of the ball, so to speak, peeled off of Cobb, spun around and dove in the back of the end zone, and not only caught the pass, a difficult catch to make, but then, you know, had the body control to get his knees down on the ground as he was going out the back of the end zone, so it was an interception. I was really impressed by it. I thought it was an incredibly athletic play, the kind of play that doesn't happen every day. And Rollins has been, you know, working with that first unit as the slot cornerback there and also taking some snaps with the first unit on the outside. I just think he's off to a really strong start. That play really epitomized, you know, maybe perhaps and hopefully where he's headed in year three.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy said right off the bat when they got into pads that they're going to be rotating these cornerbacks around a little bit, trying to get a feel of where guys are going to be at. So I think it's really important when Rollins did get his number called to step up. And the one thing I think you have to like, if you've watched these first four practices, when especially with Demaryius Randall and Rollins, you know, both of those guys, all the issues that they dealt with a year ago, health-wise with the core muscle injuries, they really seem to have just been able to put that behind them. And we hear so often Joe Witt Jr., the cornerback's coach, talk about how you need to have that short memory. You need to move on to the next play. Seems like both of those guys have done it. The exciting thing is watching them in these practices, they're both healthy. Yep. So once again, you can kind of see what they bring to the table. Devon House was talking about it on Monday as well. You know, he looks at his own skill set, and he admits, he's like, you know, I probably don't have the same tool set as a Demaryius Randall, a guy that has those many interceptions, but he does things well. They all bring something separate to the table, and when you look over the course of a 16-game schedule, Mike, they're going to need those players. Yep. They're going to need Quentin Rollins. They're going to need Demaryius Randall. When you have a four or five-man depth chart and you don't know where they're going to sort out, there's times throughout the course of the season that the situation is going to dictate itself. And that was one area where I think the Packers, although I thought they had exemplary depth a year ago, the amount of injuries that really chipped away at that put them in a put them in a bind. So I like the position that they're in right now with these two young guys stepping up.
Yeah, you mentioned the short memory that's required at the position. That goes for the good plays that you make, too. Yeah, I asked Rollins after practice on Saturday about, you know, how do you build on a play like that? And his immediate reaction was, you have to flush it. It doesn't matter now going into this week. More padded practices, family night coming up at the end of the week, the first preseason game coming up next week. It was just one play and one practice. Yeah, it was great for that day. That's sort of what he said. It was great for that day, but now it's time to move on. And so that short memory has to apply in multiple ways. But I think getting back to the other thing you said about the health of these guys, Randall and Rollins, you can tell they're healthy now. And they just seem to be having a heck of a lot more fun out there because you can tell they're not playing with any physical reservations, any physical fears about what's going on.
Yeah, and let's just be honest. I mean, you can play, you can have a lot more fun playing the game when you're not hurting.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, from Randall's perspective, he had that surgery. He came back in season, and we saw it with Greg Jennings. We saw it with a lot of these guys when you have those groin-type surgeries, the core muscle injury surgeries. That's not an injury where it's like, okay, 4 weeks, you're good.
Yeah.
Get back out there.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yep.
Quentin Rollins ended up having that after the season. That's something that's tough mentally to overcome because you have to have confidence when you put your foot down that your body's going to do what you want it to do. And the other thing you got to like, too, you have Kevin King getting involved. You have Ladarius Gunter. As you mentioned, I think Devon House, and this was a good point by you, has been really, really consistent since he got here, trying to rebuild his confidence after what happened in Jacksonville last year. All things that I think for the good of the whole, as Larry McCarron likes to say, I think are going to make this cornerback group much better in 2017.
Yeah, I like you have to like what you've seen so far. And Rollins talked about, you know, feeling more comfortable in year three, just his knowledge of the defense being at another level. I think that goes for a lot of those young guys. And a guy like House, who is, yes, coming back, hasn't been here the last couple years, but knows the system.
And keep in mind, year three with the Green Bay Packers, year four is a cornerback competitively. So not too bad for Quentin Rollins so far.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, sticking with the defensive backfield, and really the defense maybe in general here, if there's one guy through this first handful of practices that I guess you'd say maybe does something that jumps off the page or jumps off the field every day, I think it's rookie safety Josh Jones out of North Carolina State. He's just a guy who seems to show up on a daily basis.
Yeah, in my time on the beat so far, I don't know if I've had a player that I've been more excited to see in his first preseason game than Josh Jones. And that's still another 2 weeks away. But the thing is it just you can see once this guy gets on the field, once it isn't, you know, I mean, and they're going hard, it's competitive, but once he's able to actually tackle a guy, I'm just really interested to see what he brings to the table because we've seen it. And Mike McCarthy was asked about it, you know, before Monday's practice and how he's jumped out. And he sees the same guy he saw at NC State. Now, yep, they might end up using him a little bit more differently than the Wolfpack did, but he's had these tools. It is not a surprise to anybody here in Green Bay. And we've seen it applied. I mean, he plays physical. He plays hard. We saw it from the moment he stepped on the field during organized team activities.
Yep.
This is a kid that wants to hit. He wants to play. And really, he wants to dominate. And I think that's an exciting thing. And that's what you look for in these young rookies coming in, a guy that's confident in his abilities, doesn't act like he knows it all, but feels like he has something that he can do to help a football team immediately.
Yeah, and we've seen him line up in multiple spots in the defense. He is playing some center field. Most of the time, we've seen him in sort of that inside linebacker, right, you know, type area, that hybrid role. And as you kind of alluded to, the way he runs around, the way he hits, he kind of plays the game like a linebacker. And with the plays that he's making out there, he had an interception on Monday on a pass intended for a running back. We've talked about how they're rotating guys in different spots in the defensive backfield, the depth chart, this and that. Things are going to get shifted around in training camp. Who's with the ones? Who's with the twos? But the same thing applies with the play Rollins made on Saturday and then a play like Josh Jones made on Monday with the interception. You make those types of plays, all of a sudden maybe there aren't quite as many rotations going on. Those reps with the ones, not as many of those reps with the ones get taken away from right. you. Guys start to solidify themselves, and the coaches want to see them continue to function in those roles.
Yeah, and that's the opportunity that Jones is getting. Much like what you've seen with the cornerbacks in terms of guys moving around, they've given Jones a chance to do that. This is last year at this time. That's where we started to see Morgan Burnett. Different situation, a veteran
right.
at that point, but, you know, starting to test the waters with the inside linebacker, seeing, you know, what the stress points are, where you can put a guy, how he's going to react to that situation. Jones, he has so much confidence. I think that's just what really stands out to me. He's so confident when he speaks. He's so confident when he's on the field. He's just the guy that really, I think, when you look at his skill set, it matches up really well with this defense and where he could potentially go. And I've said this before, Mike, and I don't want to continue to belabor it, but it is really remarkable when you flash back 4 years to where the Packers were at the safety position and where they stand today.
Yeah.
Despite the fact they lost Micah Hyde in the offseason.
Right.
To still have these riches that they have, to have Kentrell Bryce, who I think is, for being an undrafted free agent, I still think is pretty underrated for what he did last year as a rookie.
I would agree.
Being able to step in the way he did. It's just I have to imagine Dom Capers, Darren Perry, the rest of this coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball is salivating about what the potential could be of this group. Now, you have to keep them healthy. There's all those qualifiers. But in terms of the different potential combinations that this defense can use, I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and the thought of these hybrid roles with maybe some inside linebacker and all these different places you can line guys up, you have to have the talent and the depth in the unit as a whole in order to be able to do that. You can't take Morgan Burnett and put him near the line of scrimmage to either cover running backs and tight ends if you don't have another guy on your depth chart that you're just as comfortable putting back there next to Clinton Dix to play the deep middle type of stuff. It's all about what the group can do as a whole, and then it allows those individuals to expand on the skill sets they have.
Yeah, and no disrespect to those guys, you know, from the 2013 defense and what they brought to the table, but it's almost inconceivable 4 years ago that the Packers were going to be able to move Morgan Burnett the way that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part of that season, he was even having to play kind of out of position in center field at times because they needed somebody over the top that they could rely on. So for them to be in this position now, really good spot. And again, we have to see where it leads us. But Josh Jones, as far as first four practices, has been incredibly impressive in what he's brought to the table.
Yeah, I'm with you as far as looking forward to that first preseason game and just seeing what he looks like in a real live NFL game for the first time. It's going to be fun to watch.
Definitely.
All right, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, when the pads go on as they did on Saturday, we've seen a couple of padded practices now as we've talked about. You get to see some new drills that aren't always run when the pads aren't on. And one that we got to see on Saturday, I'm sure we're going to see it more as training camp goes on, is the running back linebacker blitz pickup drill. Now, this is a tricky one. I always think the running backs are at a real disadvantage here because they're in one-on-one, completely open space. But you talk about a drill that really provides valuable teaching time to get these guys to understand exactly what all goes into it because they are at such a disadvantage. It's not realistic in terms of the game situation. But it's a real chance to learn and improve on a very, very difficult skill for running backs.
Yeah, and that was the first thing Ty Montgomery talked about when he met with the media after Saturday's practice, is just how valuable this time is. Because you can take the entire offseason program, and I know he did a lot of work with Brandon Jackson and Ben Sermons and, you know, different techniques and, you know, doing things at half speed and with padding, you know, type hitting stuff, not actual pads. But the impressive thing is, though, when you actually have Blake Martinez coming after you Jake Ryan coming after you. You know, guys in these 240-pound range that are coming for the quarterback, and you have to stand in front of them. And it's really one of the fun things for me covering this team is watching the guys grow. I thought you saw during his 6-7 years in Green Bay, James Starks make immeasurable gains at that capacity.
Yep.
To see guys step up into that with the confidence. The only way you're going to get better at it is to do it. And with Montgomery and the three other rookie running backs, all got a taste of that on Saturday.
Yeah, the rookies, you never know with those young guys coming out of college necessarily just how much they had to do that.
Right.
But in the NFL, if you want to be on the field for anything other than first and 10, really, you've got to be able to pick up blitzes as a running back and protect your quarterback, because these NFL defenses are complex. They try to disguise everything. They try to surprise offenses. And whoever that running back is that's on the field, he's got to be able to read it and understand and know where to go, who his guy is on a potential blitz. It's complicated. It's not easy. It takes some time to adjust to it and get used to it. And the Packers are going to put in the time they need to make sure that they get this right this summer.
Yeah, and you've heard, you know, Ben Sermon's even talk about this in the past too. I mean, just how valuable it is once they do put on the pads, because they did downshift during the offseason program. They focus more on the pass catching side of things, and I think Mike McCarthy has said they got what they wanted out of those exercises. Well, now you get these padded practices. In the post-CBA environment, you don't get as many as you used to. So it really is, when you do get that opportunity, trying to do what you can to maximize it, learn from it, and get ready for that first preseason game.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and of training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.